Good morning. The house come to order. Good morning. The 16th day of the session. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 16th day, Tuesday, January 31st, 2017. Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Biteman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovey.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Excused.
Bird. Clausen,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly,
here.
Court,
here.
Crank,
here.
Dayton,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Ayer,
here.
Flitner,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Furphy,
here.
Garou,
here.
Gray,
here.
Greer,
here.
Haley,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Henderson,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kinner, Kirkbride,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
excused,
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lone,
here.
Laux,
here.
McGuire,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Excused, Northrup,
here.
Obermuller,
here.
Olson,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Pannell, Salazar,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Sweeney,
here.
Walters,
excused,
Wilson, excused, Winters, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker,
here.
We have 55 present, 5 excused.
Thank you, Madam Chief Clerk. Appropriations Committee will be returning shortly. In fact, I see a couple, and so that's why they're excused, and appreciate their hard work. So, members, if you'd please stand for today's daily prayer, and it's led by Reverend Bob Thompson of First Presbyterian Church here in Cheyenne.
Good morning. From Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Let us pray. Glorious God of all worlds, we come before you at the beginning of a new day with a renewed sense of your calling as representatives. Representatives of the people in Wyoming, but more importantly, as representatives of your kingdom. In 2 Corinthians, you have called us to be your ambassadors, appealing for grace and reconciliation in the world through our lives and through our work. Today, Lord, I lift up these women and men, representatives doing the work you have called them to through the citizens of this great state of Wyoming. Lord of all creation, as you cause the sun to rise, bringing light into darkness, send the light of your spirit to dawn in our souls and to dispel darkness from our being. Give us your grace that we may reflect your glory. Let your love show through our deeds, and may your peace shine in our words. God of goodness and hope, we are a conflicted people in a complex world, trying to build a meaningful life through a stable and peaceful community and government. Psalm 37 calls us to consider the blameless, observe the upright, and there is a future for the person of peace. Help these leaders to find your promised help through their faith, and to move towards being blameless, upright, and loving citizens. God, I pray for the work of these representatives today. Give them ears to hear and hearts open to your guidance in every decision. Give them patience and understanding as they debate. Open to them the possibilities offered to their communities through the work they do. I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, sure.
Okay, good morning, members. We have a couple of privileges. First, Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know that you guys were gracious enough a couple weeks ago to sing happy birthday to my beautiful, now 17-year-old daughter. She's back today and serving as page for a day. And by way of introduction, Annika Pelkey is a junior at the new Laramie High School. She's in AP classes all over the map, from government and advanced chemistry and all sorts of stuff. So anyway, she's a good student. She's I always say my kids are beautiful, brilliant, and tall. I take credit for the tall and give credit for the other two to my mother. So, Annika Pelkey.
Welcome to the house, and thank you, Mom, and Representative Pelkey. Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I'd like to introduce the superintendent of Sheridan County School District Number 1, Mr. Marty Kobza, and another constituent of mine, Bill Adsett from Bighorn, Wyoming. So welcome. Yay!
Welcome to the House. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the gallery, you'll see our good Deputy Secretary of State and our State Elections Director. They're here if you have not turned in your required public ethics disclosure form, which is due today under state law. I think there are five of us left who have not turned in our disclosure forms. They have some extra copies, and please see them quickly. If you don't want to have to drive it downtown, you can give it to them in the next half an hour or so. They'll be there. But please turn in your required ethics disclosure form by 5 o'clock today under law.
Thank you. Welcome to the House. Representative Grew.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege to the floor.
Please proceed.
Good morning, members of the 64th. I'd like to introduce in the fishbowl today one of my county commissioners, Paul Vogelheim, County Commissioner, Teton County.
Welcome to the House. Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
Back in the fishbowl, I see a friend and a leader of our community, Steve Hopkins, who is superintendent of Turner County School District Number 1. Would you please stand up?
Representative Edwards.
Privilege of the floor, please.
And I should say, Superintendent Hopkins, welcome to the House. Representative Edwards, please proceed.
Yes, we have one of the people from our school district here, Kirby Eisner, and Jay Lundell from our airport manager in Gillette. They're both down here to visit us, if you'll give them a hand.
Welcome to the House. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce y'all to another county commissioner back in the fishbowl who also happened to be my dad. And along with him is my mom, and so Tracy and Donna Hunt. And, Mr. Speaker, I would also add that my mother is a member of the State Livestock Board, outgoing as of the 1st of March, so...
Welcome to the House. Anyone else for a privilege this morning? Okay, we welcome all the folks here to the House. Okay, we're at that order of business of Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 30th, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru.
We have two doctors of the day, and they're not from Campbell County. They're not our normal doctors for the day, and so we have two from Cheyenne, Dr. Carol Wright Becker and Dr. Grant Berry. Welcome to the House. Thank you for your service to the House today. We are at that order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 267.
House Bill 267, introduced by Representative Overmuller, LLC and Corporation License Fees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to corporations and limited liability companies.
House Bill 267 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 286.
House Bill 286, introduced by Representative Nicholas, Wyoming State Veterinary Biosafety Laboratory.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to a state capital construction project.
House Bill 286 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 288.
House Bill 288, introduced by House Appropriations, Game and Fish Fees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 288 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 289.
House Bill 289, introduced by House Appropriations, Motorboat Registration and Certificate Fees.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish and motorboats.
House Bill 289 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 291.
House Bill 291, introduced by House Appropriations, Department of Health Facilities.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to Department of Health Facilities.
House Bill 291 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 285.
House Bill 285, introduced by Representative Burkhart, Wind Energy Generation Tax Exemption.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the tax on the production of energy from wind resources.
House Bill 285 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 277.
House Bill 277, introduced by Representative Henderson, Hathaway Scholarship, Application Deadline Extension.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
House Bill 277 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 283.
House Bill 283, introduced by Representative Harshman, Higher Education Student Recruitment Planning.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to higher education.
House Bill 283 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 292.
House Bill 292, introduced by Representative Olson, Community Colleges, Administrative Procedure Act Exclusion.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to the Wyoming Administration Procedure Act.
House Bill 292 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 272.
House Bill 272, introduced by Representative Summers, Mountain Biking, Decals.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to mountain bikes.
House Bill 272 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 278.
House Bill 278, introduced by Representative Northrup, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 278 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 269.
House Bill 269, introduced by Representative Byrd, Prohibited Question on Job Applications.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 269 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 282.
House Bill 282, introduced by Representative Northrup, Recount Results.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to elections.
House Bill 282 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 10.
House Joint Resolution 10, introduced by Representative Guru. A joint resolution urging Congress to propose a constitutional amendment ensuring free and fair elections.
First reading of the resolution.
A joint resolution urging Congress to propose a constitutional amendment ensuring free and fair elections.
House Joint Resolution 10 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 280.
House Bill 280, introduced by Representative Eklund. Vehicle registration requirements.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 280 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 284.
House Bill 284, introduced by Representative Halverson. Driver's licenses valid for 5 years.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 284 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 273.
House Bill 273, introduced by Representative Crank, Survey Monument Preservation.
House Bill 273 is referred to Committee Number 9. First reading of the bill.
An act relating to property offenses.
House Bill 273 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Next order of business is reports from standing committees.
House Bill 199, introduced by Representative Hunt, Right to Repair Farm Equipment, an act relating to farm and ranch operations. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 199, Right to Repair Farm Equipment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Claussen, Gray, Hunt, Larson, Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Blake, Haley, Henderson, and McKim. Signed, Representative McKim, Chairman. House Bill 200, introduced by Representative Hunt, Beef Checkoff Penalty Repeal, an act relating to the Beef Council. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 200, Beef Check Off Penalty Repeal, respectively reports back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blake, Gray, Hunt, Larson, McKim, Steinmetz. Noes, Representatives Claussen, Haley, and Henderson. Signed, Representative McKim, Chairman. House Bill 116, introduced by Representative Steinmetz, Abortion Amendments, an act relating to abortions. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 116, Abortion Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire. Noes, Representatives Dayton, Guru, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman. House Bill 182, introduced by Representative Gray, Abortion, Ultrasound Information, an act relating to public health and safety. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 182, Abortion, Ultrasound Information, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire. Noes, Representatives Dayton, Guru, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman. House Bill 250, introduced by Representative Wilson, Public Health Statutory Amendments, an act relating to public health. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 250, Public Health Statutory Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass, with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire. Noes, Representatives Dayton, Garou, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 74.
House Bill 74, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Agent Orange Health Awareness Month, an act relating to state-recognized commemorative days.
House Bill 74, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, as so ordered. Members, I'm going to pause at second reading. I want to introduce the minority floor leader, I think has a privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker and members of the 64th, I'd like to introduce a whole group of kids from their respective gay-straight alliances around the state. We have kids and their parents from Central High School here in Cheyenne with their teacher Elizabeth Eddington. From East High School, we have Megan Monich with her kids. From Triumph High School, Amber Martins. From Lander, we have from the Lander Valley High School, club sponsor Nathan Shoutis with, it looks like, 37 kids and their parents. And from Laramie High School, with my favorite teacher and former student, Nicole Bondurant, with 20 kids and their parents. So if you would stand and welcome them with me. And to let you know, they spent the morning at the Judicial Learning Center and then over here to watch us this morning and early afternoon, and they'll be having lunch with Superintendent Bailo, where you're all welcome to join them for lunch, and in particular, those representatives from the counties that they're from. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Conley, and welcome to the House.
Hey,
any other chairman's wants, sir?
Every time we get an introduction to lobby, I see a Boy Stater. And so yesterday you met the Boy State Governor. This year we have the Boy State Secretary of State. So Mr. Sawyer Rubin from here in Cheyenne is your 2017 Boy State Secretary of State. If you would give him a round of applause.
Thank you. Welcome to the House. Back now, we are back on second reading. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 128.
House Bill 128, introduced by Representative Allen, Tribal License Plates, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
House Bill 128, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136.
House Bill 136, introduced by Representative Beitman, Campus Carry, an act relating to weapons.
House Bill 136 has amendments. I'm looking for Representative Pownell. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative, I didn't have my glasses on.
Well, at least I can be seen. That's the good thing. So, thank you. I move amendment to House Bill 136, amendment number one, to be passed, and so I would explain the amendment. What this is, you know, yesterday when we heard a discussion on this bill about the athletic events, the large events on campus, that there was some concern to allow weapons in those facilities. So basically, this is what I'm proposing is in those type of events, if there is a law enforcement presence that is giving security, that there's no need to allow individuals into the facility with firearms. It's not. I'm not here to again the whole bill, to where I do believe that the individuals have a right to protect themselves and can do that on the campus. This bill just pertains to those large events that where alcohol is probably served, where there's a large group of people there. But also, if there's security present, there is no need to have weapons in the facility. And I'll stand for any questions.
Any members for their first time? Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment and for the bill. I think that this is only a concern for maybe those individuals that want to keep control over your Second Amendment right, because this isn't a new issue. Again, we're trying to set the gold standard. There's a number of states that already have the bill without this amendment as their law and as their statute, that have populations that far exceed our state, that deal with the same issues, that have alcohol at their venues and everything. So this isn't a new problem. There hasn't been issue with this. Again, these are concealed weapon permit holders that have been vetted thoroughly, and to say that they can't carry, I guess, is an infringement in my opinion, but I don't want to belabor this. Again, this is the gold standard that we're reaching for. This is those states that I believe are leading the nation in this concept, and they have populations, again, that far exceed ours, and the same issues and the same concerns that were brought up by the bringer of this amendment exist in those areas and those arenas. So please resist the amendment.
Members for their first time, Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, will on and for the bill. I'll resist this amendment. I think this amendment sends a message to the most trusted gun owners out there who went through the vetting process to get the permit that this body doesn't trust them. And, again, it's not the good guys with guns that we should be afraid of. So, again, I'll resist this amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment and for the bill. Members, remember the bill that we're looking at, it allows campus carry under a certain criteria, and that criteria is 68104A2, all right? And 68104A2 says the person possesses a permit under this section, and this is a concealed carry permit. So it's not that they can just have a concealed carry. They actually have to have the permit, and one of the requirements for that is they be 21 years old. They are vetted already. And again, as was mentioned just a moment ago, you are punishing the good guys. These are people who have been vetted. These are people who have gone through the proper certification in order to get that concealed carry permit. Okay, if this was just open to any person, any college student, 18 years old, and boy, you can carry guns anywhere that you want to, including sporting events where there's alcohol, and I understand where this is coming from, then yeah, I would concede that you might have a point. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about a particular group of people who have gone through the certification requirements. They're 21 years old, and they have that concealed carry permit. So let's not punish those people. So we're on and against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a big issue for the school across the hill. They've contacted us, and they're very concerned about this. I think it's an appropriate amendment to say that we allow conceal weapons at these athletic events for safety. That argument, it doesn't fit very well. We have law enforcement who are armed at these athletic events, and they're there to protect the safety of everyone in attendance. So I think this amendment resolves a lot of the school's issues, and I'm very much in support of this. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment for the bill. Again, I'm putting my trust in our 21-year-olds who've been vetted. I would encourage the body to vote against this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Crank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question to clarify my ignorance. As one enters the event or whatnot, who checks who's got a concealed carry permit and who does not? I'm not sure how that works, so we keep track of who's got what where. Thank you.
Anyone else? Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In favor of the amendment, you know, we've made the argument and had the discussion about sporting events with alcohol. One other serious issue that was raised regarding this bill and has me concerned is the security involved in major speakers, presidential candidates, those speakers at the university whose mere presence requires an extensive security system. We've had presidential candidates in Laramie. We've had controversial speakers whose speech generates a requirement for security. This bill would not really even allow the university to impose recommended security measures by the Secret Service of the United States. And I think that even if you're comfortable with good guys with guns packing heat at a basketball game, I would still be very concerned that this may stifle the very discussions that we have that make the university great.
Representative Blackburn.
Mr. Speaker, body, to answer the representative's question two back, concealed carry is exactly that, concealed carry. They wouldn't know who to check at the door. I am against the amendment for the bill.
Any other member for their first time? Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just to address that question as well, and going back to who we have at the university and really want to continue having at the university, we do have controversial speakers as well as athletic events that get very heated. But going back to the very controversial speakers that we hope that many of you attend to get that wide, diverse view, we would, if there was concealed carry allowed, there would need to be checking at the door to make sure that it was understood who those people are who have a concealed weapon. The amount of money and effort that would need to go into that would be enormous, or it would mean that we would no longer be able to have those kinds of events. And so on and in favor of this amendment, ultimately against the bill, but this right here allows the university and our community colleges a little bit of latitude in order to come up with appropriate rules and regulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just sitting here thinking about how ironic it is that we're worried about safety when we okayed alcohol at these events. And now we're concerned about the guns. I think common sense takes over, and I agree. 21-year-old vetted should be able to do this. Against the amendment for the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Winters.
Mr. Speaker, since everyone's getting up and speaking, I got to pitch mine in here. I just we received in committee hearing a bit of testimony that on average, and I received this a little later than the committee meeting, but I asked the question, how much security personnel do they normally have on duty at any one time? And their normal shift is around two personnel for the entire campus. That is a pretty difficult thing to imagine that they would be able to handle an active shooter situation. And when you consider what we're talking about is public safety, right now at any one of these events, if a person were to carry a gun, they would, of course, obviously be the bad guy. They'd be someone breaking the law. But what we would guarantee if all we ever have is just the bad guys carrying the gun, that they would be the ones that would win in a bad situation. And so we need to make sure that we are able to protect ourselves. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Any other members? Chairman Eklund.
Just a quick question. How would the public know which events have security and which ones don't?
Any other members for their first time? First time going once. Okay, we're on second time. Second time before the sponsor. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'll be brief and so we can get on. But I think that these conversations need to be had. And we did have testimony in committee. And, again, one of the previous speakers asked the question about how we know these who has a concealed weapon and who does not. And I want to make a quick point because the reality is these venues aren't secure right now. You know, I don't want to get into breaking the law on that, but I personally in the Capitol saw a legislator pull a firearm out of their pocket. I know county commissioners that carry firearms regardless of what the law says. These venues, you have people, you know, at our great Mountain West Championship game. It was great. I was there. It was full. And I can't imagine that there weren't people there that were armed. I didn't personally do it. But I can't imagine that there weren't people there armed already. And so this is going on. People are breaking the law because they feel their security is primary and takes precedence. But the other thing I want to do is just bring mention, because it was brought up in committee, is, you know, we talk about these secure environments and you know, saying that somewhere is a gun-free zone. And I'm just thinking back, and I talked about this in committee, but on my committee when we were in the Capitol last year or 2 years ago in the committee, there was, in the rotunda, there was a table that slammed. And because of the nature of my committee, we had many law enforcement officers in our committee. And this table slammed, and no one knew what that noise was. It was just a big, loud bang, you know, and everybody kind of thought that something was going on. So law enforcement on our committee, and some of the members of this body remember this because they were in the committee room. Law enforcement in the committee room got up and rushed out, and they said, "Stay here," and they shut the door. And I'll be honest with you, I never felt more vulnerable, regardless of whether law enforcement was there or not. But I'm in a room, and they say, "Stay here," and my own personal testimony, you know, my kids, I used to be a substitute teacher, and so I've gone through these lockdown and lockout and the different levels of security that the schools provide in my district. And, you know, they teach the kids. They say, if there's an active shooter situation, get to the room. Get to the room, close the door, and basically, I guess, pray. I don't teach my kids that. I say, get out. Get out. So, against the amendment, for the bill.
Any other member for their second time? Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One thing I wanted to clarify, at these athletic events, the university retains off-duty policemen and off-duty sheriff's deputies to support the university personnel. So it is not just two university policemen that monitor these athletic events. Thank you.
Anyone else before the sponsor for your second time? Second time before the sponsor. Okay, we're to the sponsor now to wrap this up. Anyone else or second time before the sponsor? Second time before the sponsor. Okay, Representative Pownell, the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, in answer to the one, you know, the one question where we had the committee hearing where the folks, they did, you know, run to where the problem was. It wasn't in our room, obviously. So I was there, and like I said, law enforcement, they run to where the problem, they thought a problem was. You know, I'm going to end. This is just a compromise to the bill. I know there's some concerns with those large events. And also, another question was how many security or how much security was on campus over the hill there, that didn't deal with the events, the athletic events. That only dealt with their routine patrol operation on the facility. So I would think that when they have these large events, that there would be a proper amount of security, and they would treat it with that respect. And with that, I would urge you to vote for the amendment. And thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 36 has failed. House Bill 130, we actually have a second amendment. We are on amendment number 2, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask you to vote favorably on second amendment number 2 to House Bill 136. In your box, you'll find a article from the Potato State.
Representative Freeman, could you move that amendment, please?
I thought I did.
Please move the amendment.
I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 136.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Thank you for moving the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. In your box, in your inbox, there's an article from the Potato State, and it talks about the cost that community colleges and universities there found after they passed a bill very similar to this one. The financial note to those legislators was that there would be minimal cost. If you read into the article, you can see it in the headline, community colleges and universities were faced with a $3.7 million cost when they allowed campuses on, or guns on campus. What this bill does is it prevents an unfunded mandate to the community colleges from this body. Basically, if the community colleges can document, or the university can document a cost because of the passage of this bill, particularly in insurance costs or the cost for the securities that may be implemented by the insurance companies, that the state of Wyoming would pay for that. Again, this prevents an unfunded mandate.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, folks, is going through this article that was handed out in your inbox. This is an article. It's an opinion in regarding there's no sources cited. There's nothing of that case. And even if every piece of that is 100% factually true, that is a decision the trustees made at that specific college. That's them doing exactly what they were elected to do, make those decisions. That is up to them. So on and against this amendment doesn't actually increase the scope or safety for anyone.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Definitely against this amendment. This amendment really has nothing to do with the intent of the bill, obviously. Question whether this violates the single subject rule, but instead of calling for a rules committee, I'll simply just ask the body to vote no on this amendment and dispose of it. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. In response to one of the comments by the good representative from District 1, that this isn't a choice of the Board of Trustees. If we pass this bill, then the Board of Trustees don't have a choice. We are telling the Board of Trustees that we will allow carry and conceal on campuses, and then they need to implement it. If part of that implementation, and especially at the university across the hill, means increased liability insurance, where is that money going to come from? And on my campus, it is very likely that there could be increased in liability insurance because of, as I indicated last time, the presence of schools and a daycare center. And so that makes a tremendous difference and the real likely possibility or probability of an increase in liability insurance. So if we're going to mandate this, and we talk a lot about unfunded mandates, we need to put our money where our mouth is. If we want this, understand that there will be an increase in cost, and therefore we need to adjust the university's block grant in order to address it. So I'm in favor of this amendment. It's only the fair thing to do.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And boy, I really do appreciate the good representative handing out this this article here that we have from the state that's to the west of us here. You know, it's interesting here that this article, though, has nothing to do with insurance costs, which is what the amendment purports to do. Furthermore, this is the article really talks about a knee-jerk reaction from the universities in that state. In fact, just at the bottom here, and I'm going to leave out, of course, proper names, but it says this person here said the concealed carry law prompted the university to look at campus security overall and embark on a multi-year effort to improve it. That's the school district trust. That's their policy. That wasn't dictated by their law. Furthermore, it talks about that the schools, they've had to add new staff, provide training, and purchase new equipment. That's where all the costs come from. Has nothing to do at all with insurance. And yet that's the amendment that you're asked to vote on. So we've got two conflicting things here. I would ask you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I have received an email from the college president, community college president, northwest corner of the state. She said that they're expecting $650,000 of both insurance and extra security costs. So if you split it in half and say it's roughly $300,000, what three people in the college do you want to get rid of? They just went through layoffs. All the community colleges have. They laid off. They started out with 95 people at about 10 years ago, and now they're down to 65 people. So they just keep laying off and laying off, and now you're talking about laying off another three or four people, and also losing programs. The community colleges are the ones that feed the great higher education, the higher education, thanks, higher education facility over the hill, and it's also in community colleges where we do a lot of our education of the public. I mean, we're looking at doing community college work there where we can do job investments, we're doing training, we're doing all these other things. And so those opportunities are going to go away with the more expense that they suffer on and against this amendment, or on and for the amendment.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, I think we all know what the intent of the amendment is. Let's move forward, vote it down, and go forward with the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the amendment, but I did want to answer the question on who we propose and where we're going to get this money from. And I honestly think that we can propose that they start to take it out of their security personnel because the campus is going to be a safer environment. If we do this, then they can maybe cut back on their security personnel. But we can talk about Christmas trees and how much we spend and education and money and funding and all that. And if we want to have that discussion, Mr. Speaker, I'm open to the conversation, but I think the body would rather just move on.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wasn't going to talk, but I couldn't resist. The power of the search engine is so wonderful. And so I won't read the whole article. But back in 2007, there was a terrible tragedy involving a crazy man with a firearm out on the East Coast in the land of the Hokies. And this article, someone added up everything and said that incident cost $48 million. So they list after the crime, they spent $11 million for safety and security upgrades, $6 million for cleanup and renovations, $4.7 million for settlement payment and other legal costs. And I won't go on because it's kind of hard to run this with my finger while I'm at the mic. But I think we just, I just couldn't avoid pointing out that if the university thinks that the current security situation is sufficient to prevent disaster, maybe they need to rethink their security budget now.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone else for their first time? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A first to reserve a second.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else for their first time? First time. Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First to reserve for a second.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Ready to close first time. Okay, for your second time, before the sponsor. Any member wish to speak a second time before the sponsor? Okay, moving to the sponsor. If the sponsor would like to wrap it up, Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to respond gently to a couple of the things, for the people who said that the article doesn't talk about insurance, you didn't look at the second half of the amendment. It says if they can document that there's needed more security that is covered under this bill. For the cost of cleaning up a tragic event like what happened on the East Coast, it is very expensive, and we and all colleges and universities throughout the country are looking at their security and trying to find different things to catch up with that. As we debate this bill, we've heard stories about how having a firearm has prevented a crime. I believe those stories. I think those are true. I also am vastly aware of other situations where somebody that did have a gun and came into a situation was way over their head. And one event that didn't happen in my community but was connected to the economy, that person lost his life. Basically, we have insurance companies, and beyond the IRS, I hate insurance companies, second. And but the one thing that they do is they're very deliberate at what they do. And what they do is they go into a situation where they're insuring somebody, and they study the issue. And basically, based on their findings, they adjust their rates. And if you look at the increased cost, they're telling us something. In my community college, the ongoing cost of that will be $625,000 a year. And based on my experience as a former trustee, that's about seven college professors. We're digging into the educational mission of community colleges and the university.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 136. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 136 has failed. House Bill 136 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 137.
House Bill 137, introduced by Representative Biteman. Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act, an act relating to weapons.
House Bill 137, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 176.
House Bill 176, introduced by Representative Walters, Veterans Tuition Waiver Program Requirements, an act relating to veterans.
House Bill 176, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 180.
House Bill 180, introduced by Representative Wilson, Vital Records Fees, an act relating to vital records.
House Bill 180 has an amendment. Representative Halverson.
Forgive me, Mr. Speaker, long night last night. As we mentioned, I'd like to move the First Amendment to House Bill 180, and it's very simple, changes one word. On page 2, on line 9, setting the may till shall. I don't want to give the department or the service the option to maybe we will, maybe we won't. I would like to see our Wyoming citizens get a little bit of a break on this fee increase, and I urge your aye vote.
Anyone for their first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm fine with this amendment. I think it reflects the intention of the bill.
Any other members? Second time for the sponsor. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 180. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That amendment has been adopted. House Bill 180, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 191.
House Bill 191, introduced by Representative Harshman. Hathaway, expand Wyoming scholarships, an act relating to education.
House Bill 191, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 192.
House Bill 192, introduced by Representative Nicholas. Court automation fee, 2, an act relating to court fees.
House Bill 192, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 194.
House Bill 194, introduced by Representative Eklund, School Safety and Security, an act relating to school safety and security.
House Bill 194, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 209.
House Bill 209, introduced by Representative Connolly, Disparity in Wages and Benefits Between Men and Women, an act relating to employment.
House Bill 209, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 220.
House Bill 220, introduced by Representative Edwards, Ad Valorem Taxation, Liens on Mineral Production, an act relating to ad valorem taxation.
House Bill 220, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 229.
House Bill 229, introduced by Representative Summers, Game Animals, Hunt Consultation Services, an act relating to outfitters and guides.
House Bill 229, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 237.
House Bill 237, introduced by Appropriations, Community College Capital Construction, an act relating to community college facilities.
House Bill 237, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 242.
House Bill 242, introduced by Representative Barlow, Ad Valorem Tax Liens on Mineral Production, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 242, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list, which consisting of the following bills: House Bill 47, House Bill 61, House Bill 118, House Bill 123, House Bill 124, House Bill 125, House Bill 129, House Bill 139, House Bill 144, House Bill 163, House Bill 188, House Bill 190, House Bill 211, House Bill 218, and House Bill 219.
So 165 is off the list. Would any member like to remove a bill from the consent list? Okay, thank you. I'd ask the reading clerk to read the bill through the enacting clause.
House Bill 47, introduced by Representative Barlow, Water Rights Procedures, an act relating to water. House Bill 61, introduced by Representative Clausen, Collection of Antlers and Horns, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 118, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, an act relating to water, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 123, introduced by Representative Greer, Probate Estates of Non-Residents, an act relating to probate, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 124, introduced by Representative Greer, Uniform Trust Code Amendments, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 125, introduced by Representative Greer, Sealing of Trust Documents, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 129, introduced by Representative Lindholm, Food Freedom Act Amendments, an act relating to agriculture, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 139, introduced by Representative Northrup, School Finance, Court-Ordered Placement, an act relating to school finance, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 144, introduced by Representative Pelkey, New Trial Based on Actual Innocence, an act relating to criminal procedure, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Northrup, Elections, Recount Deposits, an act relating to elections, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 188, introduced by Representative Pownell, District Court Filing Fees, 2, an act relating to district courts, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 190, introduced by Representative Harshman, Hathaway Reserve Count, an act relating to higher education and public funds, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 211, introduced by Representative Larson, Developmental Preschool Payment Calculations, Amendments, an act relating to developmental preschool funding, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 218, introduced by Appropriations, Motor Vehicles Registration Fees, an act relating to motor vehicle registration, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. House Bill 219, Driver's Licenses Fees, introduced by Appropriations, an act relating to motor vehicles, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Whiteman,
Blackburn, Blake, Bovey, Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Clausen, Clem, Connolly, Court, Crank, Dayton, Edwards, Eklund, Ayer, Flitner, Freeman, Furphy, Guru, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kinner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, McKim, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Pieperinen, Pownell, Salazar,
Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Paxton. Closing vote, 60 aye. As for House Bill 47, are there any changes? Lone, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no. As for House Bill 61, are there any changes? Edwards, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no. As for House Bill 118, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As for House Bill 123, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As for House Bill 124, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As for House Bill 125, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. We have 59 aye, 1 conflict. As for House Bill 129, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 60 aye. As for House Bill 139, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 60 aye. As for House Bill 144, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 60 aye. As for House Bill 163, are there any changes? Steinmetz, aye to no. Baker, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Salazar, aye to no. Gray, aye to no. Henderson, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Summers, aye to no. Blackburn, aye to no. Olson, aye to no. Crank, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Burkhart, aye to no. Pipirinen, aye to no. Obermueller, aye to no. Larson Dan, aye to no. Winters, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 37 aye, 23 no. As for House Bill 188, are there any changes? Gray, aye to no. Feitman, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Salazar, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Nicholas, aye to no. Walters, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Baker,
aye, to no. Summers, aye, to no. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 12 no. As for House Bill 190, are there any changes? Edwards, aye, to no. Lone, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Zwanitzer, aye, to no. Other changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no. As for House Bill 211, are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As for House Bill 218, are there any changes? Baker, aye, to no. Piperinen, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Lone, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Barlow, aye, to no. Miller, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Biteman, aye, to no. Winters, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Olson, aye, to no. Clem, aye, to no. Are there other changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 44 aye, 16 no. As for House Bill 219, are there any changes? Baker, aye, to no. Piperinen, aye, to no. Jennings, aye, to no. McKim, aye, to no. Halverson, aye, to no. Lone, aye, to no. Hallinan, aye, to no. Edwards, aye, to no. Miller, aye, to no. Salazar, aye, to no. Biteman, aye, to no. Clem, aye, to no. Gray, aye, to no. Steinmetz, aye, to no. Are there other changes? Blackburn, aye, to no. Further changes. Olson, aye, to no. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 45 aye, 15 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bills 47, 61, 118, 123, 124, 125, 129, 139, 144, 163, 188, 190, 211, 218, and 219 have passed the House. Representative Steinmetz. Okay, I thought you... We're at that order of business now, our regular list, third reading regular list, and the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 46.
House Bill 46, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Permanent Absentee Voter Status, an act relating to elections. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would like to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 46. And first, I want to let you know why I'm making this amendment, and then I'll walk you through the amendment. I'm not necessarily opposed to the permanent absentee voter status, but I just want to make sure that we don't have any room for fraud. So this amendment is to try to clean that up a little bit. And so if you look at your amendment on page 1, line 9, we're just going to insert after status, imposing duties on the county clerks. And then we're going to go in, and what the amendment actually does is just says that any person applying for permanent absentee voter status shall provide to the clerk their signature at the time of application or within 10 days of application if the information is in a form other than writing. And so all we're doing is if they're going to apply for this, we need to have a signature, and then we're going to have the county clerks verify that signature just so that we don't get any voter fraud. And so basically that is the amendment. And if you, I would stand for any questions.
Any members for their first time? Representative Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to divide the amendment. And division number one would be lines 1 through 19. Division number two would be 20 to the bottom.
Representative Conley, Division 1, lines 1 through 19, and Division 2, 20 through 38.
So, yes, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Conley, so I'll rule that divisible. Let's start on Division Number 1 for your first time. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have no problem with Division Number 1 and would encourage the body to vote aye.
Any other members for their first time? Representative, question on Division Number 1.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman's monitor.
I just want to make sure on line 4 on the amendment that that shouldn't go in with division 2. And actually, well, arguably lines 1 through 5, I think 1 applies to both, but the line 4, page 2, line 2, that should go with Division 2, technically.
Mr. Speaker, I believe the good chairman of corporations is correct.
Representative Conley, so let's restate your divisions then, and I concur with the chairman of corporations.
So, Mr. Chairman, Division 1 would be lines 1 through 3, 5 through 19. Division 2 would be line 4. And lines 22 through the bottom. I'm sorry, in lines 20 through the bottom.
Through 38. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Zonicer. So any other discussion then on Division 1? Okay. Question has been called, so we are voting on Division 1 on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 46. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. That division number 1 has been adopted. So we are now on division number 2 for your first time, Representative Minority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against division number 2. Division number 2 is requiring of our clerks to verify these signatures, which goes far beyond what we expect of our clerks for virtually anything else that they do. So what we're asking is for individuals who are going to get a permanent absentee ballot to affirm that this is what they want. All right, and by doing so, that they sign, like we do with so many things, that when you put your signature down, you are making a pledge, you are affirming that you are following the law. Right? We don't require our public servants to verify that each and every time, and what we're doing here is requiring of our county clerks to do that each and every time. I think that's asking them too much to do. We will put the onus on the individual to make that affirmation that they are asking for a absentee ballot and that they will abide by the rules and regulations without kind of a kind of police enforcement through our county clerks. So on and against Division 2.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, what we're trying to do is to have the county clerks maintain a list of the signatures of the people who have registered for permanent absentee voter status to eliminate fraud, so that if one of these ballots, heaven forbid, would end up in a mailbox that is not an accurate one, someone else could not vote on their behalf. And so I would urge you to vote in favor of Division 2 and help us prevent voter fraud. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? I have a member behind the bar here that is... Well, here he is, Chairman Zwanitz, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking on Division 2, and I guess I understand what the former speaker's concern is, because I'm fine with 32 through 35, but that extra line on 36 that says you have to notify an elector in writing, their signature can't be verified. I can just see a situation where you turn in your absentee, let's say at least 7 days in advance, and the clerk can't verify it, and they have to inform you in writing. So let's say it takes another 7 days for your that writing to come back, and you have to redo your absentee ballot and come in. I can see how that could be a problem. And if they can notify in any other way, I think it would work better, but I can't divide a sentence according to LSO. So they could probably fix it in the other body. Not that I should comment on what the other body can and can't do, but I would probably speak against the amendment because of that issue, but we can certainly chance it if that would be the will of the body.
Any other member on Division 2 for your first time, Representative Halverson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of Division 2 of the amendment, as many sideboards as we can put on this process, the better. Absentee ballots are the number one cause of voter fraud, and we've got to be very careful going down this road. I know the intent of the bill is to make voting easier. I just don't think that it should be so easy as to make it slippery. Please vote in favor of Division 2, and we'll get to the bill later, but I might be a no vote on that.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I recall, the clerk's, I listened to testimony, the clerk's purpose in this, bringing this idea forward, was to simplify their work. And I see this fraught with a lot of opportunity for not only additional administrative work in terms of tracking the ballots, but also introducing unintended errors. So I'm against the amendment and against the bill, because I believe that we have questions and issues related to accountability, the number of ballots, the ballots going to addresses where you have multiple occupants, if you will, apartments and so forth, and also the potential for voter fraud.
Representative Edwards.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of the second part of the amendment. I believe that this would help strengthen the bill so that there wouldn't be near the opportunity for something to go awry with the elections. The verification is to help make sure that when somebody votes, that it is actually their vote. I don't think we ought to make it so easy that we forget that the best part of the United States of America is our opportunity to go vote. And when we lose that, and when our votes are not secure, at some point in time we shall lose our freedom. So I hope that you will be on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Any other member for their first time on Division 2? Second time on Division 2. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the good debate. One of the elements that I am concerned about with Division 2 is not only what the good chairman of corporations talked about, but this notion of verification of a signature. Right now, our county clerks are not trained in verifications of signatures, and I'm curious about what that would mean and about the additional workload of, in fact, looking at Signature 1 and Signature 2 and knowing if there's a difference between, I only know this from watching like CSI on TV, is, you know, do you have a little curly Q here, or did you dot your I differently here or there? Who knows? And who knows about my signature from one day to the next? And we're going to be asking the county clerks, at least in my district, to be checking well over 1,000 of these. And so, again, on and against this division.
Anyone else? Second time. We are voting on division number 2 to third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 46. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1, division number 2 to House Bill 46 has been adopted. We are, there is one more amendment. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to go really quick here, but a couple points I wanted to make, and so this is an enactment clause amendment. I move amendment number 2.
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker. I think there are real implications for fraud here, even with this amendment, and I think that's a key point. We've talked a lot about that. I also think that it's important as we vote on this to note that I really think this moves us in the direction of a mail ballot system, mail ballot state. A lot of states have moved in that direction with, I think, a lot of implications on their elections and the way that has been done, and I think that is also something we need to consider here on this bill. Thank you very much.
Can you withdraw? Is that withdrawn? Or we have more. I'm sorry, Representative Gray. Representative Lone, I'm sorry. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, I do oppose the bill. I did receive an email from a constituent who wanted to point out the fact that he moved into this area, and as a tenant in a apartment complex, he receives no less than mailings from 6 former tenants of his residence, and recognizes there's a possibility for fraud. So I'm for this amendment. I oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members for your first time? Representative Edwards.
On and for the amendment, this is where I originally was. I agree with the bringer of the amendment that this is where they're heading, at least temporarily, is to have all mail-out ballots, and I am totally against it. I think that the farther away you get from people watching you to handing in your ballot, the more opportunity for fraud to happen. And like I said earlier, if we lose our ability to have our votes counted and counted rightly, we can lose our republic that our forefathers have given us. And I hope that you will vote in favor of the amendment and against the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? For your first time, second time before the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw the amendment.
Okay, thank you. We are voting. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. No. Baker. No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. No. Blackburn. No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Byrd.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
No.
No. Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton. No. Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Giroux.
No.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd. Larson Lloyd? No. Larson Dan. No. Lindholm. No. Lone. No. Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden. No. McKim. No. Miller. No. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermueller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. Aye. Pelkey. No. Pipirinen. Aye. Ponell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. No. Summers. No. Steinmetz. No. Sweeney. Aye. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. No. Zawanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. No. Are there any changes? Blake, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 11 aye, 49 no.
House Bill 46, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 46 has failed to pass the House. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. There's a few left. There were a whole bunch of them, and they filtered off throughout the consent list, but I'd like to recognize students from Lander Valley High School in the gallery. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Go Tigers. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 151.
House Bill 151, introduced by Representative Madden, Cigarette Tax, an act relating to the taxation and revenue. Be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 151, and I will withdraw it at the proper time. Ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, I want you to really look at this piece of legislation for what it is. If you turn to the fiscal note, that money's not actually going anywhere. It's not intending to do anything other than just filter into the general fund. So just trickling into the general fund, and it's just going to be set up to do just that. What was the last time we did this? It was in 2003, so let's talk about that. So the year after we did this, in 2004 alone, Wyoming lost an estimated $156.1 million to neighboring states with lower SETs, leading to the collection of 12% less tax revenue than projected. Right? So is this going to work? That's the question. For the year following the 2003 increase, cross-border sales accounted for as many as $263 million lost packs of Wyoming's tax-paid sales. Also, increases in illicit market activities and revenue declines in both the Wyoming sales tax and corporate income tax revenues due to reduced cigarette sales and subsequent retailer profits. Since 2009, 70% of all U.S. state cigarette excise tax increases have actually failed to reach revenue projections. This is for other states. So since 2009, we've got these projections. This is how much we're going to make. Just like on your fiscal note, this is how much we're going to make. 70% fail, and in this situation, are going to fail also. So increasing the state cigarette tax harms the state economy. Of course it does. In 2016, the year following the most, this is for the state that's on the west coast, at their very northwest corner, that state cigarette tax increased. The number of stores selling cigarettes decreased by 28%, or 241 stores. The number of employees in stores selling decreased. Cigarettes decreased by 4,338. Employee wages in stores selling cigarettes decreased by $66.3 million. A 30-cent per pack excise tax hike would cause further economic decline, since adult smokers already pay $40 million per year in taxes and fees on cigarettes. and reducing discretionary income and fueling unemployment rates will further hamper investment and growth in Wyoming's economy at a time when hardworking Wyomingites can least afford it. So, ladies and gentlemen, is this actually going to do what it's projected to do? Are we going to see this? No. The stats show that no, we're not actually going to do this. All this is going to do is hurt Wyoming's economy and hurt our small businesses. So please vote no on the bill, and I'll stand for questions.
Representative Edwards.
On and for the amendment and against the bill. Whenever I was a young child growing up, my dad used to take a gnaw out of a chunk of chewing tobacco, and at that time I started doing it. I did it in school. It was against the rules to do it there. Sometimes I had to swallow what I had in my mouth, but I still did it. You can raise the price of tobacco up as high as you want to. It will not change those attitudes, only on some instances. When I decided to quit, I quit. It was my choice. It wasn't somebody else's. The raising the price of the tobacco up on bringing in revenue, like I told you the other day, there's a piece of property in the middle of the state that doesn't have to charge taxes on theirs. And I am not sure what all the surrounding states have, but we would end up losing the revenue. And as far as the health end of it, unless you want to quit, you're not going to quit. Most people that try to quit using tobacco don't do so because they really don't have their heart into it. When I decided to quit, I did quit. So I would hope that you would vote in favor of the amendment and against the bill. Thank you.
Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for the amendment and against the bill. And I just want to point one other thing out just briefly. The retailers that sell this product, if we institute this bill the way that it is, and at 30 cents per pack, it's a huge penalty on them when you really think about the concept. Because they're going to buy this product at price A, and they're going to assume that they're going to be selling it at price B. And the issue with it is as soon as this takes effect, that effective date comes in, they're penalized on the inventory that they have on hand. Because they bought that inventory with the intention of selling it at one rate, yet they're required to sell it at another rate. So really what you're going to do is you're going to cause these retailers to really watch their inventory levels, and you're going to cause, I think, chaos in the market. And it's not really a market, but really it will cause chaos for these retailers because they're going to be buying inventory at one price, expecting to sell it at another. Their wholesalers are going to be selling it to them, expecting them to sell it at a certain price. Yet as soon as this is enacted, they're penalized for any inventory that they have on hand. For the amendment against the bill.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the amendment and against the bill. I think what's really important to look at here is we're basically social engineering here at this point. If you're going to try to get somebody to quit by taxing them, it's not going to work. I think we've had a few other people mention the same exact thing, that this is not the way to do it. Again, you also have some communities across this state that they truly depend upon people coming into their communities and purchasing the cigarettes in their local communities. And if we raise this tax and we become closer to these taxes of the bordering states, we're actually going to see a decrease in sales, and we're going to get a net effect of zero. So, you know, while we're raising the taxes on the people here in Wyoming, it may not necessarily do the benefit that we claim to see on this bill. So, again, on in favor of this amendment against the bill.
Majority Floor Leader Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and very much in favor of the bill. Friends, one of the things I regretted from this morning is that I didn't come in and do a third reading amendment on this bill and raise the tax from the very modest 30 cents that it is now to a version of this bill that I had drafted before session, which raised it to $2 a pack. That would have generated for us $53 million a year. $53 million a year, and would not have put us in the top of taxation for cigarettes around the country. Instead, I had drafted a bill that raised it to $1.15. $1.15 is the average of the contiguous states around us. That would have raised us $21 million a year. Instead, the committee decided to go with the good chairman of revenue's version, which did nothing other than raise the tax to the value of that tax when it was first put in 2002. To call this a modest raise is almost an exaggeration. Last night, I went and I heard hours and hours of testimony in the East High School regarding education funding. We have a crisis in terms of funding, in terms of education funding, that we need to address. One version of this bill put the money into school foundation. This puts it into the general fund. And I disagree with the good representative from House District 1 that the general fund is putting it nowhere. You know, in fact, the general fund is putting it into our biggest funding, where then we can expend out of. We can expend that for schools if we want to. But we need to take positive action in this 64th. I came in with three bills, cigarette, alcohol, and a mill levy. We have to do something as a body. This is a modest increase in taxes on cigarettes that does nothing more than raise the amount to what it was in 2002. I strongly urge you to vote yes on this, and honestly, on some of the others that might come before us as well. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
My first time, so I get a second time.
Okay, thank you. Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I just wanted to reiterate, this small population already pays millions to the state. This is a behavioral modification tax. Tobacco is legal. Is it the government's job to try and force us to be healthy? For the amendment against the bill.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment against the bill, I'm as much opposed to cigarettes as probably the next representative in this room. I grew up in a house of smokers. I know all too well the effects it has on young children, and I'm adamantly opposed to it. But here's the reality. We need to stop searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. It doesn't exist. Wyoming has a spending issue that we are not addressing. And as we continue to look for revenue instead of addressing our spending, we transfer that burden to the backs of the taxpayers of Wyoming. It's irresponsible. And it's time to search for the cuts that need to be made and stop looking for revenue solutions. On and against the bill for the amendment.
Representative Crank.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the amendment against the bill, I have a constituent had the pleasure of talking with this weekend, and I think he put it quite right. This is a lazy tax. It's a tax to be imposed by a majority on a minority that really doesn't have the political clout to do anything about it. The other issue I have with the bill is it's indicated, you know, it's from 2003 to now, so using inflation, it's proper. Being a small business owner, we don't get to wait 10 years to raise our fees and triple them. We do that, we're out of business. So I'm opposed to just randomly saying it's their fault we didn't raise the tax by this much over a decade, but it's not their fault. It's our fault that we didn't have it match inflation through time. So for the amendment, against the bill.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree that we don't have a revenue problem, we have a spending problem. However, members, our Constitution does charge this body with the health and morality, the oversight of health and morality. And you know what? If people are choosing to smoke cigarettes or choosing to chew tobacco, that's their choice. And they're going to smart for it later on. And it's going to probably cost the state money. And you know what? I don't think that this body has the responsibility to subsidize your health care or a person's health care, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, a person's health care if they choose to smoke cancer sticks. You know what? They can pay for it. So I'm not voting for this bill. I am going to vote in favor of this bill, on and against the amendment for the bill. I'm going to vote in favor of this bill, not because it raises revenue, because I agree with the general sentiment that we have a spending problem. It's not a revenue problem. But I do think that we have the responsibility for the oversight of the health and morality of our state. And so against the amendment and on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Against amendment for the bill, let me maybe be the only person to say we do have a revenue problem. I'm not sure why no one's noticed. We cut 12.5% of the state government the last 2 years. It's not a spending problem at this point. It could have been 4 years ago. We have a revenue problem now. Hopefully more of us realize that. But I did want to come back to the conversation of social engineering, because when I read the bill and I listen to testimony, this is not social engineering. This is bringing it back to what it would have been if we'd put a multiplier on it 8 years, 10 years ago, when the good chairman of revenue and I were both here, and we actually fought for such things. And we said, you know, wouldn't it be good if we just put an inflationary measure on these type of things? And the body at that time said no, right? And so what I believe that we're doing with this bill, and correct me if I'm wrong, is putting on an economic parity of what the revenue would be if we had had a multiplier on it for the last 10 years, and we wouldn't be having this conversation, and we'd have another $10 million in our budget right now, because we do have a revenue problem. And so when they say none of us are to blame, some of us are probably to blame. 10 years ago, we had the debate of putting multipliers on a lot of these things. We talked about it doing with hunting licenses. We talked about doing it with fees, with all sorts of things. And the body at that time said, we don't want these automatic qualifiers, multipliers, incrementally, because we don't have control as a body then on a lot of these fees. And so we agreed at that time that here we would be a decade later having these concerns and these debates. And what I do believe we're trying to do is saying this is what it would be if 10 years ago, if we put one of these multipliers on, we're keeping up with the times. And I understand the argument that we have some lost revenue for cities and towns, but I would maybe submit to you we might actually be making money, because instead of these people and our neighbors to the east driving over once a week, they may say, hey, let's drive over once a month and we'll just buy a whole lot more. Because what we're doing is adding 30 cents to what, roughly 90 cents? I think this neighbor to the east is $1.50. I mean, we're still going to have an economic benefit of people coming into our state to buy these products and go back home. So if it was any higher than the, I think, the proposal right now, it'd be different. We could talk about social engineering. We could talk about economic parity and people cross-bordering. But what we're doing with this bill, from what I understand, it's just saying, hey, if we'd done our job 10 years ago and put an inflationary index, this is where we'd be. I mean, we've been hurting ourselves for a decade as we haven't been getting the revenue equal to policies this body set 10 years ago.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the amendment against the bill, saying that this is going to generate any money or revenue for the state is kind of like counting our chickens before they hatch. You can utilize our great internet and find many studies that have been done already to show that cigarette taxes are not a stable source of revenue for the state and shouldn't be counted on. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Furphy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to remind this body again what we heard in committee. Smoking is costing our state $40 million per year. $40 million. So this is a small effort towards recouping some of that expense. I think it's the right thing to do, so I'm against the amendment in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Okay, any members for their second time before the sponsor? Anyone for their second time? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me get some things that I wrote down to clear it up a little bit. The one thing that's really important to understand is that this tax is imposed on the wholesaler. It's not imposed at the retail level. So it's not like a sales tax license where you have every month or quarter, whichever or wherever you fall, you have to send in a sales tax check. What we do is we sell rolls of stamps to the wholesalers, and they stamp those, and that's the way it's collected. It's very similar to the fuel tax, where we don't have retailers sending in fuel tax. It's the wholesalers that do. Most of the wholesalers with fuel tax don't even live in Wyoming. Okay, so with that, the other thing to remember, I heard some comments saying that raising this tax by 33% will cause revenue to go down. That would go down only if the amount we sold went down by 33%, so it would balance out. We've never seen a national instance where a small increase in tax has that effect. So let me talk about what the motivation was here. Let me first say what it wasn't motivated to do. It wasn't motivated to change habits, all right? All it was, it's a motivation to restore the purchasing power that we had in 2003 at 65 cents. All of the things we buy, all the things the state spends money on from cigarette revenue and from the trust fund revenue has gone up in price because this tax is based on a quantity. It's so much per pack, not so much per dollar like a sales tax is. Okay, now I'll just go through the chronology of how we got to this in the committee. Back in 2015, the Appropriations Committee contacted me and said, you know, we have discovered that we have a shortfall in earnings out of the trust fund, and we have, secondly, an increase in costs of programs that are dependent on these kind of revenues, not directly dependent, but implicitly dependent, okay? I told them that we didn't have that on our list of interim topics, so I couldn't do it unless they could get management council to expand my response or our responsibilities over that interim. They promptly did that. Management council sent me a letter that I'm not going to read here, but saying that we have a problem here and we think that you need to deal with it in your committee. So we did that. I put it on the agenda for the November meeting of 2015, and we discovered that we needed more information. It was too hasty, and we didn't have the facts of what programs they were, how much they're short, and, you know, on and on. So we went through, actually, Committee 10 supplied us the information that we needed for making a logical decision. And that's how we got to that point. And then this year, 2017, 3 years later, this bill appears before you. This whole thing started with the bringer of the amendment saying that a 63-cent price advantage from a state next to his next to his district was not enough, and we need a 93-cent price advantage in order to reduce that the 93 cents would generate, it would be an incentive to the residents of this other state. It's an incentive to smuggle cigarettes from his customers, which amounts to two stores up there. And they wouldn't do it if there was only a 63-cent gap. Right now, it's in that state, it's $1.53. this bill passes, it's going to be 63 cents. If it doesn't pass, it'll be 93 cents. And the bringer of the amendment thinks there's going to be an increased propensity for them to not come over across the border and haul cigarettes
Chairman,
back home.
Chairman, you have 30 seconds.
Ooh, okay. All right. All right, this amendment asks us to not recoup $9 to $10 million of revenue to the general fund, and remember, local governments are getting about $2 million or $1.5 million of that. So, please vote for this bill. I think that I've gone through everything I want. It's just a treading water type tax. It's not an increased tax. It's just getting our purchasing power back to where it was. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Anyone else for their second time before the sponsor? Second time before the sponsor? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's fair to say that this is a vice that costs the state money. And I did find it in our Constitution finally. I had to search for it. And I think it's just a good reminder, so, Mr. Speaker, I'm just going to read this just for food for thought. This is Article 7, Section 20 of our Wyoming State Constitution, where it says, duty of the legislature to protect and promote health and morality of people. As the health and morality of the people are essential to their well-being and to the peace and permanence of the state, it shall be the duty of the legislature to protect and promote these vital interests by such measures for the encouragement of temperance and virtue, and such restrictions upon vice and immorality of every sort as deemed necessary to the public welfare. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Second time for the sponsor, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, we just heard that it's our job to do health and morality, and absolutely. However, we're not the first state to ever envision raising our tobacco tax or our cigarette tax. So the association that does a lot of good research on cancer has actually found that you don't lower cigarette use until you raise it by a dollar. So the last individual that just spoke is absolutely wrong. This isn't about health and morality. In fact, the chairman of revenue even stated this is not about health and morality. This is not going to lower consumption whatsoever. What this is going to do is drive business out of our great state. Now, granted, it might be a small amount for the good chairman of revenue, but I guarantee you that's a huge amount for some of these small general stores. So, once again, this was studied by the Revenue Committee this last interim. It failed for good reason. No association out in that fishbowl is for this. The raise will not deter smoking. Punishing private business so we can feel responsible about revenues? We did hear that. That's ridiculous. And then finally, wholesalers will pass this cost down just like what would happen with other taxes. We saw this a couple of years ago on another tax, and it was passed on. So please vote no, and Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my amendment.
Thank you, Representative Lindholm. House Bill 151, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
No.
No. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
No.
No. Clausen.
Aye.
Clem. Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Giroux.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
No.
No. Jennings.
No.
No. Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
No. Lindholm. No. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson. No. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Yeah.
No. Steinmetz.
No.
No. Sweeney.
No.
No. Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
No.
No. Winters.
No.
No. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
No.
No. Guru.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote, are there any changes? Brown, aye to no. Larson Lloyd, aye to no. McGuire, aye to no. McKim, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 22 aye, 38 no.
House Bill 151, having failed to receive the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 51 has failed to pass the House. Members, we will stand in recess until 2 p.m. House is in recess until 2 p.m. Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue Committee Number 3 will meet tomorrow, Wednesday, at 8 o'clock a.m. We're going to talk about House Bill 166, alcohol taxation, school funding, and House Bill 274, alcohol excise tax.
Chairman Zawanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, will meet in 10 minutes after the GSA meeting to discuss House Bill 89, House Bill 183, House Bill 221, and House Bill 227.
Yeah. Chairman Allen. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife Cultural Trust Fund, will meet tomorrow at 8 o'clock to consider House Bills 270, 278, House Joint Resolution 009, and 264. Thank you. Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet in 10 minutes in Room H38 to consider the following two bills: House Bill 157, Marijuana Possession of Less Than 3 Ounces; House Bill 81, Hemp Extract Amendments.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee, Education Number 4, will meet tonight upon adjournment in House 54, which is the 302 look like. We will continue the conversation on House Bill 236, which was tabled last night.
Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment. We're changing the order of the bills. We will do House Bill 202 first, then 275, and then move 185 to the end. Thank you.
Any other announcements? No. Thank you. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. Members, there is a Capitol tour, so if you signed up, head on over that way. Thank you.
I was speaking against it the whole time.
So, you weren't at the same meeting I was at last night. I heard all those people talking about it, starting a job.
Okay, so here's the deal with that. I don't want to balance. We've already been doing this for